Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
It's so fun when you get to be the speaker once in a while because you get to ask the praise team to do cool music for you. And so I gave them that task, and they really knocked it out of the park. So good morning, Christ United. It is so good to be with you here on Mother's Day again. I get to do this every now and again. It's a privilege and an honor to stand here with you guys. I just want to take a minute and say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, but especially my mother, who is here with me today, and my dad. You guys have, a lot of you have been praying for my mom, and so it's just a huge blessing that she's here with us today. I want you all to know, just like I said last year, that I know that this day holds such a gamut of emotions for people. Everything from grief, because there are people sitting here who've lost children, all the way up to joy, because there's moms who, mothers for the first time this year, you know, holding their babies for the first time. But I want you to know that whatever your circumstance, no matter what you're going through, I want you to know that there is a God in heaven who absolutely adores you, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I pray that today you're going to lay hold of that purpose in a new way, maybe in a way like you haven't for a really long time. See, today we're going to look at the ultimate mother, Mary. You see, I love Mary. I think it's fascinating that God chose Mary out of all of human creation and humanity to be the mother of the Messiah. I mean, how do you get that job? What's that job profile look like? I mean, what kind of heart, what kind of spirit do you have to be the carrier of God into the world, the Messiah, God with us? So I want to take a look at that. I want to look at this woman, because I believe that if we are all believers, which those of us who are Christ followers, it is our responsibility to carry Christ into our worlds, into our sphere of influence, right? So let's look at what made Mary qualified for that job. But I want you to leave today. Don't leave today without knowing how perfectly and beautifully loved you are by your Father in heaven. So today, if I can make the clicker work, because you remember last year I had problems with the clicker, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1. This is a passage that typically we read during Christmas. And if I'm being honest, when I read it during Christmas, I'm very focused on the baby that's a part of this story, which we should be. It's Jesus' birth. But as I began to think about this sermon and I read this passage, I began to focus on Mary and this extraordinary exchange she had in Luke chapter 1. So let's read it together. There we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Oh, this clicker. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled, as I would have been as well, at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin, did you fail biology?" It's in the scripture. I saw it. So the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. May your word be to me fulfilled. Then the angel left her. What an encounter we have here. So the angel of the Lord turns up to this very ordinary Jewish girl who I am confident was not thinking about becoming pregnant that day. I'm pretty confident that she was thinking a whole lot more about her wedding and her very handsome groom, Joseph. But you see, what we see in this is that when God is looking for people who will carry him into the world, he's not looking for extraordinary people or the most talented or the most gifted. He's looking for ordinary people who have a willing heart, who are ready to make room in their lives for him. Mary had a willing heart, and she was an ordinary person. I am extraordinarily ordinary. There is nothing about me that is wonderful, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if God can use this 12-year-old girl, he can use me. And so young people, as I see you looking up here, you're usable, and God wants to use you in this generation right where you are. There's a plan and a destiny for your life, so don't tune out. See, the thing about this whole ordeal was it wasn't a sweet encounter. Gabriel is the angel that stands in the presence of God. That's what he said of himself when he was speaking earlier in Luke. So we're not talking about an angel coming in with a little harp and a little wings and, you know, they're going to sing Kumbaya together. This was a stinking big angel. And I promise you, if that angel had turned up in your house today when you were getting ready to come to church, you would have had to change your underwear. I'm just saying. It's the truth. But you know what the truth is, really? When you have a willing heart like Mary did, and you say, I am available for your service, when you're getting ready in your everyday life, when you're taking care of your kids, mamas, when you're going to work, when you're just doing what you normally do, when you make yourself available in your everyday life, God will use you. He wants to use you. I think it's interesting that God chose to bring his son through a woman, because he could have done it any way he wanted to do it. I mean, he could have split the sky and Jesus could have descended and it could have been a whole different story. But I think that God values relationships, and it was really important to him, I think, that Jesus had a mom and a dad to love him. I think that makes being a mom really special. So on Mother's Day, moms, just own that. It's amazing to be a mom, and what we give our kids is priceless. So then the angel says to Mary, interestingly enough, you are blessed and highly favored. You have found favor with the Lord. See, the thing about Mary is she understood purpose and she understood favor. Because the truth of the matter is favor is for purpose, not for status. So what do I mean by that? Isn't it true that if we think God is blessing us, or we are favored, do we think, great, I'm going to be so blessed, I'm going to have this blessed life, I'm not going to have any trouble, I'm not going to have to worry about anything? But that's not the truth, because the Bible promises us we're going to have trouble. So what about this favor? You see, God gives us favor for his purposes. There are people that have what seem like amazing lives with everything they could possibly need. But do you know, even those people who aren't necessarily experiencing great trouble, the favor they have is still to be used for God's purposes. But in Mary's case, the favor of God was upon her, and he was getting ready to mess her life up. He was coming in, and he was going to create an event that was going to change the trajectory of her life. So we have this willing, ordinary girl who God came in, and he's getting ready to wreck her life. But the angel says, you're blessed and highly favored. Now, in our minds, that doesn't make sense. See, sometimes we think favor is just for our next business deal or whatever we're going to do in our family. He bestows his favor on us. He does do that. And he makes us look better than we could ever look on our own. And he opens up doors of opportunity that we could never open on our own. so that he can be glorified, so that we can make him famous on the earth. You see, we are all God carriers, Christ followers. We are responsible for taking the Messiah that this woman birthed because we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us to now carry that Holy Spirit into our generation. I think we want to be God carriers. You see, God's saying to us, will you make room for me? Will you stretch? You see, because when you have a baby in you, ladies, you know, that first couple months isn't so bad, but then all of a sudden your womb begins to swell. And you got to go through some aches and some pains, and you got to be able to stretch before you can birth a baby. So God says, are you willing to move and to be stretched, to walk into the purpose that I have called you to? See, Jesus didn't come into the world. See, we get it wrong. Jesus didn't come into the world to give us these safe, easy, comfortable lives. He came into the world not only to save us, but to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. See, it's our responsibility as Christ carriers to bring Christ to a lost and dying world. We have the answer. We have the Messiah. This interesting thing happens next. He says, Mary, don't fear. I don't know about y'all. I would have been afraid. This huge angel turns up, tells her she's about to conceive miraculously. Not only is she going to have a baby, but she's going to have the Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, how do you wrap your brain around that? I mean, I was freaking out about delivering a 7-pound baby, right? She's going to deliver God. But the angel says, don't be scared. That's all he had. Don't be scared. But here's the truth. The greatest enemy to our potential is fear. Fear is the thing that's going to stop you from stepping out of your comfort zone into the potential and the purpose that God has for you every single time. You see, during birth, there's this time called transition labor. Is there anybody who knows what I'm talking about when I say transition labor, ladies? That's when labor, you've been laboring and laboring and laboring, and you're on hour 26, which I think was where I was. And all of a sudden, transition labor happens. You think you've had the worst of it, and then that happens. You see, transition labor is that place, ladies, where you say those things to your husbands that you wouldn't say in church. It's the things I said to my husband who's sitting up there. You wouldn't be listening to me preach right now. But here's the truth. See, there's spiritual transition too. And it's in those places of transition when God is trying to move us into new places, to stretch us into new realms that we want to give up. It's when we're tired and we're exhausted and we feel like we've been laboring and laboring and we want to throw in the towel. That's when fear comes in. It's in that season where we think, I just don't want to do it anymore. Because I promise you, when women are transitioning labor, they don't want to do it anymore. They're exhausted. But you see, we have a choice to make when we're in those seasons. Are we going to believe the promises of God? Are we going to trust what he says is true? Are we going to give way to the fear that wants to stop us from moving into our full potential? See, God is calling us to step into his purposes, people. All of us. Because just like Mary had an assignment to bring him physically to the world, and she had to say yes, we have an assignment to bring him now into our world. We have to say yes. To carry God and to give birth to God in our generation, it isn't easy. You see, the angel says, hey, Mary, don't fear. He says, don't fear. You see, Mary, this assignment, it's a big one, and it's serious. You're going to carry the Messiah. It's a big deal. And see, Mary, if you choose to accept this, if you choose to accept this assignment, here's the deal. You got to go to your fiancé. You got to look at him, and he knows what you have and haven't done. And you have to say, hey, Joe, I was getting ready today, and this angel dropped in, and I'm pregnant. Can you imagine? I don't think Eric would have fallen for that. I'm just saying. You have to tell your fiancé. And then, you know what? You're going to risk your family ostracizing you. You can resist. You're going to have to deal with possible rejection from the people that you love. Sound familiar? Your family, your community, the people you work with, they may reject you. Mary, you could be stoned for this. You could be stoned to bearing this. You're going to be stoned. I mean, these are the things that were really happening back in her time. They really stoned girls for things like this. See, the thing is, it's interesting, is when the angel told her all of this, he didn't give her all the details. He didn't. He didn't say, we're going to visit with Joseph and make sure he's good, and we're going to go before. He didn't. He just said, here's your assignment, should you choose to accept it, and the favor of the Lord goes with you. Isn't it true that all of us at different points have been given assignments from God? I have. I've been given assignments from God, and my immediate thought is, but God. But God, I'm not smart enough. But God, I might be rejected. But God, what if I run out of money? But God, I'm a virgin. But God, but God, I tell you, I think the body of Christ needs a buttectomy. I really do. I really do. Because every one of us do that. I'm not unique. Every one of you can sit there in your mind, you're thinking, there's lots of times I said, but God, when he's asked you to step out into his purposes. Even Moses had that experience in Exodus. So he's standing there in front of the burning bush, and he's standing in the holy of, you know, God's made the ground holy, and he says to Moses, now Moses, I'm going to use you to set my people free. What's Moses do? But God. I'm not eloquent. I can just imagine God going, whoa, Moses, I really needed your eloquence to part that Red Sea. What he was saying is, I need your obedience. I need you to trust me when you're afraid. See, the thing about these but gods, for me anyway, it may be for you, while it may seem really humble, you know, I'm telling you all the things I'm not able to do, you're letting the Lord know. What that really is rooted in pride. Because what we're saying is that God is not powerful enough to do in and through us everything that he wants to do. We're telling God that our limitations are greater than his power and ability and supernatural strength to do things through us. See, people, it's not about me. It's about the greatness of our God. And his ability to do things through us. We are either going to trust that he can or we're not. That's what it comes down to, the greatness of our God. But aren't we programmed to stay safe? We live in a society where if you don't wear your seatbelt, you get a ticket. We live in a world where if you're the parent that doesn't put the helmet on your kid, you're the bad parent. We live in a world that is programmed for safety. Don't take risk. I mean, what are we all so afraid of? Are we afraid to die? Well, let me put you out of your misery. One out of one will die. There. It's in the open now. We're all going to die. So if that's your fear, put it to rest. We shouldn't fear dying. That's inevitable. We should fear living on this earth and never fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives. That's what we should be afraid of. So I was doing there's me and my slides again. Oop, I'm going to go back. I don't want you to see it yet. Okay. So I did a survey last week on Facebook. Some of you sitting here participated. I know who you are. And I asked a really simple question. And the question was this. I said, I'm doing a little sermon prep. Tell me what your greatest fear is. Within an hour, my Facebook blew up. And it was astonishing to me, really, because it wasn't like it was people who didn't know the Lord. It was these beautiful children of the Most High God who were wrestling and struggling with fear. And I thought, that certainly isn't the way God wants us to live. Mary was told, don't fear. Get ready to come in and give you this God-sized assignment that's going to cost you a lot, but don't fear. And so, of course, one of the number one ones was spiders. And so I wanted to find the scariest spider I could that would look really good up there on the screen. I hate spiders too. I'd rather have a snake any day. I hate spiders. Not being good enough. How many people have that fear, that they fear that they're not being a good enough dad, not a good enough husband, not a good enough friend, not a good enough daughter or son? Disappointing and failing those that I love. That's a big one, right? Not having enough money, not having provision to take care of my family. I saw a couple of men put that out there. It was interesting to me. It's a real fear, not being able to provide for my family. Losing control over things. You know what's so funny? We think we have control of things. And the truth of the matter is we don't. What we can control is how we respond to our circumstances in a way that's laid out in God's word, the power of God's word. But we really don't have control over our lives. Not fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has for my life. So even as Christians who love the Lord, we sit and we wrestle with whether or not we're doing everything that God has asked us to do. But how often does God ask us to do it? And we say, but God, being abandoned. Several people put some version of being abandoned. God's beautiful children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, feeling they could be abandoned. Being a burden. How many older folks sitting in here, and that's your worry? I'm going to be a burden. This one shocked me. Shocked me. Somebody that I know loves the Lord has this aching fear in the back of their minds that I'm not going to heaven. Wow. Does that blow y'all away, or is it just me? It's amazing. Family passing away without a relationship with Jesus. Imagining an eternity without your family, that's real. And here's mine. See, here's my greatest fear in life. Because I told you guys on Facebook I would tell you, and you know, if you say it on Facebook, you got to do it. My greatest fear in life is the death of one of my children. It's my greatest fear. It's kind of a selfish fear, honestly, because I don't want to feel that hurt and pain and live my life without them. You see, Satan, the enemy of your soul, is a liar. And he uses fear kind of like a spiritual terrorism, if you will. It's like a low-budget resource that he has because he can't take you because you belong to the Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Satan can't really hurt you. But what he can do is come in and wreck your mind and wreck your peace and steal the very presence of God because you're so worried about whatever you're fearing. See, if he can intimidate you, he can keep you ineffective. And then your but gods also, they seem justified if you're intimidated and fearful, correct? See, but the Bible says that the Spirit of God doesn't give us a timid and fearful spirit, but he gives us power and love and discipline. So how do we act on that? Because fear is a really real thing. There are people sitting in this room right now that I know for a fact struggle with anxiety, and you struggle with panic attacks. There are people in this room that won't go into a crowded store because you're afraid. So how do we deal with it? See, the truth is that God's word and God's truth overcomes all of Satan's lies. Every one of them. And the weapons of our warfare that we fight with, they're not from this world. So while I am a proponent of counseling, and we live in this great time when you can get great meds and all, and I'm a proponent of those things, I'm not saying that's bad. But what I know that I know is that my God has given me a remedy in his word. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So how do we do that? See, if my greatest fear is losing my kids, then don't you think God probably set up a time I would learn a really good lesson? So let me tell you about what happened. So my son, he was a competitive swimmer, and as such, they would do these early morning practices at some point in the season. And he got up real early one morning, and I was sitting out in my brown chair, and those of you who know my house, I was in the brown chair, and I had God's word was open in my lap, and I had my journal open, and I was having this amazing time with the Lord, like so spiritual, right up at 5 o'clock in the morning to seek the Lord. The truth is I had had a hot flash, and I couldn't go back to sleep, so I figured I would use that time to spend with the Lord. So Taylor gets up, and he gets out in the kitchen, and he's wrestling around. I'm thinking, what are you doing up at 5:30 in the morning? And then I remember he's going to swim practice. And so immediately out of this time of precious time with the Lord, my brain went into fear gear. And I thought to myself, this is so irrational, people. He's going to get in a crash because he's going to fall asleep on the way to the pool because he's tired. So really, I should probably just tell him that I'll take him to swim practice. So, me being the mother full of faith that I am, honey, I'll just take you to swim practice. He's like, Mom, that's ridiculous. I can drive. I'm like, oh. So, I said, okay. And out he went. So, some of you moms have this on your phone. So, my kids, and Megan's up there somewhere. She loves this. My kids, I had on their phone that tracker app. What's the name of that thing? I could see everywhere they were. I could turn it on, and I could see everywhere they were walking. And so me being the mother of great faith that I am, right, I put the Bible back in my lap. I put my journal back in its place. I turned my phone on, and I set it right on the table where I could follow everything he was doing. And I watched him go. And I'm not, I mean, it's funny when I'm saying it, but I mean, at the time, it was for real. Like, Satan had come in like a flood. And made so much anxiety, I couldn't even refocus back on God's word. And so I watched him drive down the road, and as he drove out, I heard sirens coming from the other direction. Now, don't you know, in my brain, I'm thinking my son's just gotten in a car accident. So I look at the phone. No, he's still moving. He's good to go. He gets to the bypass, and you know, Pepper Gettings from my house, you would turn left on the bypass. But guess what direction he turned? Right. And so I look at it, I'm going, all right, what do I do now? Why is he turning right? He's supposed to be turning left. Oh my God, something's wrong. So you know what I did? Because I'm a really good mom. I picked up the phone and I called him. Because it's a really smart idea for your kid to be talking on the phone while he's going down the road. So he says, Mom, it's fine. They're just working on the bridge. I had to turn right and blah, 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 blah. So long story short, he gets to practice and he's fine, and he gets back home, and I'm still wrestling this experience because it wrecked my day. And I turned on the news, and see what had happened when those sirens were going? See, just a neighborhood over, there was a shooting. And the guy who had shot the other guy was tearing out of the neighborhood and actually had crashed. And see, if God weren't controlling my son's life and making sure he's okay and taking care of him, it's quite possible that Taylor could have intersected that and he would have been the one that got crashed. And so the Lord examined my heart. And he said, do you love that boy and that girl of yours more than me? It's a tough question. Because all of my fear is wrapped up in losing one of my kids. See, life is risky. You're not going to get out of life alive. None of us are. Some of us live our lives so safely, so controlled, that it's almost as if we're going to like arrive at death safely. And then we're going to have our nice cars, and our kids are going to be great, and I'm not going to experience any pain or hardship, and I'm going to slide into my coffin safely. But you know, the Bible tells us that in this life we're going to have trouble. And Mary knew that. She knew the assignment she was taking would potentially cause her some trouble. So I was thinking about risk. And I was just thinking about life. And so some of y'all know that I used to be in the military. And this one time, We had this crazy notion in our unit to fly UH-60 helicopters from Fort Campbell, Kentucky to Puerto Rico. Now, why we would do that's a good question. We were going to do overwater training, but in order to get a UH-60 all the way to Puerto Rico with only one stop, you have to put external fuel pods on the helicopters. So we're flying along, and we get to the training site fine, and we do all of our training, and we're all like worn out and headed back, and we're about 2 hours into the flight. And I'm sitting, like, you can sit sideways, and I was looking out the door, and I was just watching the beautiful waves. We were over the ocean and all the other helicopters around us. And I was listening to the chatter, and all of a sudden, I hear the pilot say, the fuel pods aren't pumping. Yeah, not something you want to hear when you're 2 hours over the ocean. And so I begin to listen to their chatter, and they're talking to the Air Force AWACS plane that's overhead to let them know our coordinates, because here was the plan. We were going to fly that helicopter into the water. See, here's the thing about dunker training. You have to learn to do this. If you're going to put a helicopter in the ocean or in water, you cannot just bail out of the helicopter. You have to stay strapped in. And you have to stay in there until the rotor blades stop. And then the helicopter will naturally begin to turn over. Once the helicopter has turned all the way over and the rotor blades have completely stopped, you then may exit the aircraft. You know what I learned that day? Flying isn't safe. Right? It's risky. We do it every day, though. I fly all the time. Go see my mom and dad. We get on an airplane, but it's risky. And then I was thinking about this time my mom called me on the phone. I was in my office. It was a normal day, and she calls me on the phone, and she says, honey, your sister's been in a car accident. And, you know, my sisters have been in several, if I'm being honest, but they were just fender benders, so I wasn't, like, super, super worried until she said she's in the emergency room, and they're not sure how bad it is, and I found myself in Ohio the next day. I found myself in Ohio the next day standing at the door of my sister's critical care room. Her scalp had been taken off. Every rib in her body was broken. Her wrists were broken. She had internal injuries. This, my sister, who's one of the most amazing people I know. You see, that morning, she had gotten up and had her coffee and had her breakfast and kissed her children goodbye. And then she got in her car, and she proceeded to go to work. And she went on the same route that she always went on. She drove the same roads, and she went through the same intersections, but on this day, and she was going through an intersection, there's a police officer. What's the chances of this? In a high-speed chase coming the other direction. So not only does she get in an accident, but she gets hit by a police officer going better than 70 miles an hour, rolls and flips her car. You see, Renee was just doing what she did every day. But you know what I learned that day? Driving, it's not safe. It's risky, right? See, life is risky. See, in this world, we're going to have trouble. But take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. There's power available to us to be able to manage all the trouble that God's already promised we were going to have. And there was this other day I thought about. It was a hard day. See, my husband and his best friend had gone fishing that day. And Ben was not a very good fisherman at all. My husband was a much better fisherman. But Ben would go along with Eric just because he liked the camaraderie. And I don't know, I think they would like pee off the boat or something. I'm not sure what all they did out there. So Ben caught the fish of a lifetime. And I really wish that I had brought the picture, because it really was the fish of a lifetime. And Eric calls me excited, and he said, hey, we'll pick you up at the dock. We'll go out, and we'll spend the day on the water since we're done fishing. And so Kelly, who was 6 months pregnant at that time, and her little boy and I, and Taylor, I don't think Megan was with us, met them, and they took us out to the water, or to the Merle's Inlet, and we played all day. It was the best kind of day. Like, if you can imagine a perfect day, this was the perfect, most relaxing, enjoyable day. So we get done and we clean everything up and we go home, and I make a very typical meal that I would make on a summer day, which is grilled chicken. I remember the meal. Grilled chicken, asparagus, roasted red potatoes with a lot of butter on them, and salad. So we ate and we hung out for a little bit more, and everybody's tired. And so Ben and Kelly decided they were ready to go home. And so we hugged them and kissed them and, you know, told them we loved them, and they went out the door. We weren't thinking anything of it. So like about an hour later, my phone rings, and it's Kelly. And she says, "Chris, you need to come right now. Ben has collapsed." I'm thinking to myself, Ben's 34 years old. He's like, you know, I don't know, maybe he's sick. So we all get in the car. We run over there, and I find Kelly standing on the front porch, 6 months pregnant, waiting for me to take her to the hospital, because they wouldn't let her ride in the ambulance with her husband. So we get to the hospital, and we're sitting in that terrible room, that room of doom. Like, it's the worst place you want to sit. It's the private place they put the families when something really bad is happening. And the doctor came in, and he said, "We've done everything we possibly can. I'm sorry, Ben is dead." So Kelly and I got up, and we held hands as we walked down the hallway to face one of her greatest fears, which would be the loss of her beloved. So we walk into the room, and there he is. There's Ben, this big, burly guy who was my brother. I mean, I loved him so much. There he was. He was still warm to the touch. He looked like himself. He smelled like himself. I mean, he was, everything about him was there, except there was still something missing. You know what I learned that day? Life is terminal. And it could end just like that, after the most perfect day. And so what do we do with that? What do we do when we're struggling through fear and you're looking at the realities of life, and Mary was looking at the reality of what she was experiencing and going to take on? I don't know if Mary had absolute, complete understanding of every single thing she was going to face. But she knew enough to know this was not going to be an ordinary child she would raise. You see, when I am struggling with fear, one of the things that I find, particularly as a mother, is I will find scripture that is full of God's promises, because God's promises are true. It is indisputable. You could argue with me all day long. I don't even care if you don't believe. It doesn't matter. I know that God's promises are true, because his word says that his word is living and active and breathing and able to divide soul and spirit. So I know the most powerful thing on this planet is God's word. And so when I'm struggling with fear, I find promises that speak specifically to that fear, and I begin to pray those promises. So with my children, because Megan, I blow her phone up just as much, she'll tell you. Find her after the service, she'll tell you. Because I worry about her too. I worry about my daughter in a place where kids get kidnapped riding around the beach. I mean, the fear is real. But I have also realized there is nothing I can do to control their destiny. There's nothing I can do to ensure that my children are going to outlive me. I don't have that control. Do I want to walk through that? No. But there's a freedom in realizing what you can and cannot control. And every one of those fears that I put up there that was placed on Facebook were things that we really cannot control. But God can. You see, one of the scriptures I use often with my kids, Psalms 139. And it's where God talks about how he knit us in our mother's wombs. And so it says, "Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know where I sit and where I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." And so here's what I do as a mom, and maybe you guys could use this. I do it over my husband too, because he scares me sometimes when he goes out fishing and doesn't call me. But I say, "Father, your word says," like your word, your precious, beautiful, powerful word says, "that you have searched Megan And you know her full well, Lord. You know where she is. You know where she's going. And I continue to take this scripture and I insert promises over my children. And so I release into the atmosphere God's word. And here's the thing, this taking captive thing, it's a daily thing. It's not a magic bullet. You see, because God didn't say you're going to have trouble just for one day. He said you're going to have trouble in this world. But take heart because I've overcome the world. I believe fully that we are not even a part of this actual time, that we have been plucked out of eternity and we have been positioned in this time to be God carriers. And I think that Satan completely understands the potential of God carriers who are carrying the truth. And so Satan comes in and he uses all of these fears and these frailties and these failures and these things we worry about to keep us from stepping in to our God potential. See, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it says in Hebrews. But let me tell you, we have the baton of faith in our hands. If you're waiting right now, if you're waiting right now for somebody to say, this is your time, this is such a time as this, well, let me tell you something. If you woke up today, and if you don't have a chalk mark around your body, if you're breathing, then it's your time. Right now is your time. You are carrying God into this world. But you see, I believe that God, as I prepared this message, I believe that God was showing me clearly how the body of Christ, there's people, beloved, beautiful sons and daughters that are struggling and laboring under fear. Fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of the loss of a loved one, fear of the loss of a child, and on and on and on and on. And so what I'm praying for you today as we've looked at Mary and we think about what it took to be a God carrier, she had a willing heart. She had the ability to see God's purpose is something bigger than herself and that his blessing was for his purposes. You see, Mary was a mom. She was a mom. She birthed that baby in a stable, in a manger. She nursed him at her breast. She read to him. She loved him. She cooked for him. You know, she gave him sweet things to eat. She taught him to walk. She loved that boy as much as I love Megan Koppel sitting up there. She loved her son, but she knew that there was something bigger in his purpose. So when he's dying, when he's on the cross and he's dying for all of humanity, there is his mother who was told 30-some years earlier that she was going to birth the Messiah. Does she have any idea this is how it was going to end? I don't know. But there she stood, fully Mary, his mother, who was the teenage girl that said yes to a God assignment. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. And she had to face every fear as a mom and watch her son do what he did. And so today, I pray that as you listen to this music, as you give the Holy Spirit room and time to move, that you'll find yourself at this altar and bring your fears. The only real remedy for fear is God. You are loved and cherished, and he doesn't want you to walk out of here bound by fear. You see, I look at all these faces, and what I see when I look at you is potential. God, potential. Life-changing potential and purpose and destiny. So don't leave here today without settling this with the Lord. Ask him, are you faithful? Ask him, can you help with this fear? Ask him, because I believe with everything in me, he will answer you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.